The Africa Report.
We're joined on the line by a researcher with the Emergencies Division at Human Rights Watch, Jonathan Pedno, who joins us from Norway. And Jonathan, we are talking about the good news, one would say, of those child soldiers being freed in South Sudan. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Thanks.
All right, tell us about these children who have been freed in South Sudan.
Indeed, we just recently had the news of roughly 300 children who have been released by an armed group from the opposition in the southwestern part of the country, of South Sudan, in the area of Yambio. This release comes a few days after we published a report stating that child recruitment continues in South Sudan despite numerous pledges to stop such abuses. You know, South Sudan has been at war now for over 4 years. It's entering its fifth year. There are peace negotiations undergoing at the moment in Addis Ababa, but we are concerned that, unfortunately, the parties to this conflict continue to violate the rights of civilians and are continuing to violate the rights of the upcoming generation of South Sudanese. So obviously this news is a welcome one, but in a context where we have approximately 19,000 child soldiers who are currently being used in South Sudan, 300 unfortunately is but a drop in the ocean.
So why would these children have been released? Would it be at a conclusion of a negotiated settlement, for example, between the recruiters of children and organizations such as yourself?
No. Indeed, we didn't directly participate in those negotiations, which is not part of our mandate. However, UNICEF and the demobilization Commission of South Sudan have been quite active in that particular case to bring about the demobilization of those children. The group to which these children were part of had signed a localized peace agreement with the government in April 2016, so more than a year ago. And it took, as you can see, quite a while before these children were able to be demobilized. This is obviously a sign of good faith on the part of the commanders. It's something that is important to note. However, a lot of the children that were part of this group and who we had the chance to meet in the field, you know, described to us how they were snatched away from their families, how they were forced to fight and train. I spoke with one of those children, part of this same group that were released, who explained to me how to kill someone with a knife. You know, those are not things that we obviously want children to be taught about. And unfortunately now these children will face a great effort and challenge in becoming reintegrated in their own community. And that is obviously something that we're quite concerned about in the case of South Sudan, that this current war, this war that is continuing despite the good news, is creating a new generation of lost South Sudanese. And that is happening because, on the one hand, their leaders, their political leaders, are continuing to use civilians and use violence against civilians to gain more power, but also because the international community has unfortunately failed to take strong enough actions to stop these abuses from taking place.
And what would that strong enough action be, in your opinion, Jonathan? I mean, South Sudan held so much promise, did it not, when it was formed a number of years ago? Our very own former president, Thabo Mbeki, was integrally involved in the negotiating to establishing South Sudan. And it has, unfortunately, over the last 3 or 4 years, just turned into the conflict-ridden zone that we're talking about now. So what sort of action are we hoping to see from international bodies that will stop the recruitment of child soldiers?
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. South Sudan was holding so much promise, and unfortunately, the war, as you say, has unraveled a lot of issues in South Sudan. I think a lot of those issues have come arose as a result of the lack of justice for previous abuses that took place in the 1990s and the 1980s. This is something that we, as researchers in South Sudan, see every day. We will see people referring to the long war, the war with Sudan, and how they still hold grudges against other communities as a result of the lack of justice for such abuses back in the days. So the one thing certainly not to do is what South Africa, unfortunately, is doing at the moment. Just at the end of January, your Minister of Defense flew to Juba to sign a memorandum of understanding, a military cooperation agreement with the South Sudanese Army that will allow for South Sudanese troops to be trained by South African officers, for instance. And this is not the kind of engagement that we want from any given country, and less so from South Africa, in a context where there is an active push to bring about accountability for the abuses. What we're hoping for is for the international community and South Africa to really participate and push towards the need to hold perpetrators accountable, so that 5, 10, 15 years from now, if peace comes back to South Sudan, people don't have a wish to take justice in their own hand and seek revenge, because people will have some form of trust in the law, in the rule of law, and in the capacity of justice to heal the wounds.
It's an important conversation. Thank you very much, Jonathan Pedno, a researcher with Emergencies Division at Human Rights Watch, reflecting on the release of more than 300 child soldiers earlier this week in South Sudan.